Nearly 1 in 5 adults experiences mental illness each year, according to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and police interactions with someone with a mental health condition often result in violence. As WYPR's Dominique Maria Bonessi reports, Baltimore City Police cadets are being trained to change that dynamic.
Tell me the first thing that comes to mind. Just yell it out.
Schizophrenia.
Dementia.
Elizabeth Wexler teaches 50 cadets about mental health at Baltimore City's Police Training Academy. She draws a large T on the chalkboard and asks cadets to say what comes to mind when they think of mental health.
What was that?
Aggressive behavior.
That one. That's the one I was waiting for. Crazy and aggressive. Okay.
Wexler turns to the other side of the T.
Same thing. When I say the word cancer, what comes to mind?
Wexler stops writing and turns to the class.
What's the difference between these two? We have a lot more compassion. We see cancer as a disease than we do mental health. If you think about it, there are many more life choices and behaviors that contribute to this than contribute to this.
The National Alliance on Mental Illness says there are roughly 87,000 people in Baltimore City living with mental health conditions. So, Wexler says, it's vital that officers understand the stigma they attach to mental illness when they're out on patrol.
And much more so than in the past, because many people with chronic mental health issues used to be treated in institutions, and they aren't anymore.
The 16-hour course for cadets is supposed to give them a big-picture understanding of mental illness. Wexler gauges their attitudes towards and knowledge of mental health conditions through a diagnostic test before and after the course. Questions include true or false. All people with mental illness are on medication. That's false. Here's another one. The main cause of mental illness is the lack of self-discipline and willpower. That's false. Okay, here's a harder one. When a licensed mental health professional writes an emergency petition to commit someone involuntarily to mental health treatment, it does not also require a judge's signature. That's true. While this course is required at the Academy for Cadets, there is no requirement to pass this test. But Wexler says the course's purpose is to give officers more confidence to recognize the signs of mental illness on the streets.
The idea of this training is not to turn police officers into clinicians. The idea is to give them a better sense of how to identify when people need assistance, rather than something being construed as a law enforcement situation.
The Baltimore City Police Department's failure to de-escalate a situation or call mental health providers for assistance was one of the findings in the investigation the U.S. Justice Department released last year. It also found officers routinely using unreasonable force against individuals with mental health disabilities in clear violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. That law requires officers to change how they operate as needed to avoid discriminating against people with disabilities, including mental illness. Since 2004, the department has provided specialized training to cadets, but that standardized training was not offered to other officers.
Generally, what standards do is they define what task or activity or written directive or training needs to occur in a particular area.
That's Louis Dekmar, the vice president of the International Association of Chiefs of Police and former chair of the Commission on Accreditation of Law Enforcement Agencies, or CALEA. He says when it comes to assisting those affected by mental illness, in order to be in compliance with these standards set forth by these organizations, police departments are required to provide mental health training to cadets when they first arrive, and also to experienced officers throughout their tenure. Prior to the consent decree, the department was not aligned with these training standards. Today, the department says it meets standards under the Maryland Department of Corrections and Trainings Commission by providing a mental health component within in-service training. But under the police department's recent consent decree, it is required to include 8 hours of in-service mental health training annually.
Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Philip.
Good morning, sir.
I'm a member of NAMI.
Back in the classroom, officers are introduced to two individuals with mental illness from the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI. The representatives from NAMI share their personal stories about their mental health conditions and answer questions.
Personal stories are uniquely effective in that I could talk for a week as a subject matter expert, but if I'm not telling my own story, it certainly doesn't have that level of powerful impact.
Finally, cadets get a 40-minute exercise in understanding auditory hallucinations.
The voices come and go, and sometimes they get louder and
stinky, 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 stink, stink.
Sometimes they're just whispers, and sometimes they're funny, and sometimes they're distressing.
While audio is playing, cadets take a reading comprehension test and have an interview with a mental health professional. Wexler wants the cadets to see firsthand how difficult it is to focus on a task while inundated with voices. In the field, Wexler says, these auditory hallucinations are the most common type of mental health condition. Louis Dekmar agrees and says cases occur frequently and are often unpredictable.
The fact is, dealing with those affected by mental illness has been thrust upon the police community. And that's as a consequence of a failure, in my opinion, of public policy.
Dekmar says that in the 1960s, the nation had more inpatient treatment options for those with mental health conditions. Today, he says, county jails and penitentiaries act as treatment facilities for dealing with the mentally ill. According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, nearly a quarter of state prisoners and jail inmates have a mental health condition. Given how frequently the criminal justice system and mental illness overlap, Wexler says it's key that police set aside stigma and preconceived ideas.
Not only recognizing that maybe someone is having hallucinations and so that might temper their interaction, but also compassion of how difficult it is to concentrate when someone's asking you a question and really pressuring you to answer when the voices interfere.
She hopes officers can be that understanding and compassionate in the field. I'm Dominique Maria Benessi for 88.1 WYPR.